You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead, pull up a chair.
Okay, we'll cut it out.
Stupid.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the After Laugh.
All right.
Here we are. I'm here with Tommy Wakefield. We're not going to talk about politics, but we are going to talk about some sexual politics. What would you say? Tommy, are you stoned right now?
I did smoke a little weed.
God, I feel like you have a problem, Tommy.
I don't have a problem.
Every time you're on the podcast, you're like, dude, I'm
depressed.
So stoned. What are you depressed about?
Death?
Is that really
career
it?
Career?
Is that when people start really looking at their mortality? Because I think that is maybe what happens is in your mid to late 20s, you start really thinking, oh, wait, death is a thing that's going to happen. And then once you get like middle age, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, then you're like, bring it on.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
I've never really been afraid of death, per se. Even since I was like young, I was kind of like, all right. I've tried to be at peace with it. Obviously, yeah. I'd rather not die.
Yeah.
But you try to be at peace with it. And, but you know, I hadn't had that many people in my life die in a long time.
Yeah.
Since I was young. As my grandparents.
Oh, sorry, we're talking about your friend back in Texas, yeah.
So it did kind of shake me up. And it is the type of thing where I go back home and I see, I was such a small town and we were such like a tight-knit community that
yeah.
I see so many buildings and places we used to hang out, and she like lived in my neighborhood, and a lot of memories got brought back, and it was kind of nice. It was nice to remember all those things, but it was a very melancholy feeling.
I think, and like, we're not going to go into politics, but again, with the coronavirus, I think that part of the deal with the coronavirus and people freaking out about vaccines and the unvaccinated and the plague rats and all that shit is I think that like people, as a rat runs around the fucking top of the billboard.
An actual rat.
I think that this is the first time a lot of people in their 20s in America have been confronted with mortality. Because, you know, most cultures and most countries deal with mortality in a much more face-to-face way. People have a much different understanding of death in places like India. Maybe because there's a lot more mortality.
Día de los Muertos.
Mortality rates are different in different countries. But like,
right.
In America, I think we have this weird belief that, like, death is coming for other people. You know what I mean? And so when coronavirus happened, it was kind of like, oh, shit, it's right here in my face.
Yeah.
And people hadn't taken the time to really address their thoughts about death. Because if you address your thoughts about death, you have to address your thoughts about what you feel about what happens after death. And we are in a very,
what you do while you're alive.
We're in a very irreligious society right now. I mean, it's very atheistic and agnostic. And it's not cool to believe in God or to be religious. So you have all these people in their 20s, all these smart people, all these smart liberals who are confronted with death, and it angers them and it makes them mad at everyone wearing plaid.
Everyone wearing plaid.
Every man with a trucker cap.
Oh my God.
In the Midwest. So I just.
They've definitely confronted death.
They're confronted. And I was trying. I opened last night with the idea of what we were talking about. I was like, can we just agree that it's over. Coronavirus is over. It's fucking done. It's like Greta Thunberg. It's like, enough. You made your point. Can we just agree? Everyone's like, yeah, you get people going that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, I mean, I know it's not, but can we pretend? Let's just all pretend. Can we go back to 4 years ago when we thought we were going to live forever? And then we'd walk around like, I'm not going to die. Someone died. You're like, ah, not me. Let's fuck. That was our whole mentality. Can we just go back to not me? Let's fuck, please. Can we do that?
Let's fuck, please.
Because, you know, there's like climate change. It's like the world's going to end in 10 years, which is the thing that AOC promulgated. And okay, sure, it might. But like, and I did the joke, like, but I don't want to hear. But can it just be a surprise?
Yeah.
Crickets. I thought that would get a laugh. Anyway. So, you know, the new jokes.
Yeah.
So,
comedy is so fun.
But the joke that did work when I said, these companies don't give a shit. They act like they're woke and enlightened because they care. They don't care. They just want your money.
Yeah.
They're like, we've been looking at the numbers, and black lives do matter. We decided. And then and then Dave Chappelle happened, the transgender movement. Like, trans lives matter. We're like, well, not according to the spreadsheet. And I got a pretty good laugh. So we're talking about what we wanted to talk about in this episode is a little bit different. We're not going to talk about politics. It will devolve probably at some point.
Nope.
But Tommy is now single.
Uh-huh.
And Tommy is getting to the point where he's ready to mingle.
Yeah.
And Tommy...
only recently.
I've talked to Tommy before. I used to be... I was never in the game. I was never a PUA, which is a pickup artist. You never read The Game, did you?
No.
The Game was a very popular book. I mean, if something's 10 years ago, it feels like it's ancient history now. About the pickup artist community that a guy wrote. And all these sort of nerds got together and they basically like scientifically formulated ways to pick up women that tied into evolutionary biology and insecurity and abandonment issues and daddy. And they just would figure out how to, and it was very structured and it gave these dorks who had no real personality ways to kind of pick up attractive women out of their league. There's even a TV show about it called... I think it was called The Pickup Artist. Or I don't know what it was. It was like the guy, his name was like Mystery or something like that. He wore a big weird hat.
Mystery?
He looked like Jamiroquai.
Oh my God.
He's this tall guy. He tried to pick up a girl I was dating at The Box in New York, which is like a, if you've ever been to The Box, there's one in London, one in New York. It's a very crazy, burlesque-y, gender bendery type of show. You have a lot of trans people. People are peeing on audience members and it's very
That's
weird.
Cool.
But it's also very cool. It's like Wall Street guys
and
are there.
Mystery was there.
And Mystery was there, tried
one
talk
name,
to my
like
girl.
Cher.
And he was he was smoking a cigarette and then I guess she was sharing a cigarette with him. And he was talking to her. I was like, oh man, the head pickup guy's picking up on my girl. So I was like, I talked to him, and I looked at him, I took a cigarette, I started smoking it.
You took it out of his hand?
I took it out of his hand, and I started smoking it. You don't want to mess with white trash, baby.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny.
Anyway, so, I used to, when I was in my 20s in New York, I didn't get that deep into that, but I did watch this movie called The Tao of Steve, which you can probably still get on, you can probably find a clearance bin in Walmart somewhere, but it was kind of popular in New York at the time, an indie film. It was based on this guy, Donald Logue, who was a very famous kind of like pickup artist in Hollywood.
Mm.
And he, or Duncan North was the guy's name. Donald Logue played him in the movie. And he had a rule called the Tao of Steve.
Who's Steve?
So this thing, in the whole movie, they talk about it. So Steve represents sort of an old school type of man, and I think Steve Austin, the $6 Million Man.
Okay.
Steve McGarrett, I think from Hawaii 5-0, and Steve McQueen. Right.
Okay.
So basically,
like manly men named Steve.
These three Steves, and he kind of studied how they would operate with women and how they'd operate in the movie. Whatever. It's silly, but the idea, which is true, these three rules, which are: when you're with a woman that you like, follow these three rules and just keep repeating these every encounter with these people.
Mm-hmm.
The first rule is be without desire.
True.
Right? Because obviously when you're around someone and you show your hand and you look thirsty, it's just not really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Particularly if we're talking about quality women who have options. So you want to be without desire. That's the first thing. Now, however you do that, I mean, you know, something about Mary, he jerked off before the date. A lot of people would jerk off before a date so they don't have like their testicles like, come on, touch me the whole time.
Right.
So I think that's a good thing. Whenever you're on a date, I think the first date, just always be without desire. Never think you're going to get laid. Never think you're going to get, just be without desire. It's the first date. The second thing is be excellent. Something that you're whether you're a fucking magician or a comic,
mm-hmm.
or you can talk about whatever, or show them the thing that you're at. And then the third thing is leave.
Leave. That's the one.
Leave. So
that's the best one.
But when you repeat these things, when you're funny, it's a perfect.
I tell that to my friends, that's my big move. I'm like, I leave
but
these girls.
You leave after you say something funny, you get laughed, yes. You're charming, and then you leave.
And then you leave.
You don't just leave like, all right, guys, I'm going to go. You got to say. And I got to tell you, when I was in New York, I became friends with Anthony Clark. Do you remember Anthony Clark?
No.
I think, oh, he's from Virginia. He's a comic.
Okay.
He had his time in the sun. you know what I mean? He was pretty good. He was a gay guy.
Nice.
I guess when I first knew him, but he's like Southern gay, which is very weird at the time. And he always wanted to hang out with me. And I was like, cool, I have like this famous young actor. He's gay, big deal. I'm in theater. Everyone's gay. And he would always like just want to hang out. He was never like hitting on me. He would take me to like, you know, filming his movies or his TV shows, get me tickets, stuff, take me to really cool parties,
gay
be really
very
funny,
powerful.
And then leave. And and it's funny because it obviously I didn't develop a crush on him per se, but I would kind of go, I would want to see him again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would kind of miss him, and I'd be, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? You want, you know? And then he just kind of ghosted me. And I didn't
you
know.
Think about him every day.
I haven't thought about him for years. But what was funny about it? I mean, maybe it's been like weeks I haven't thought about him. No, this is like 2000 fucking, I don't know.
The Dallas D, baby.
Three or something.
Undefeated.
So, but here's, I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Never been attracted to men. But the companionship that he was offering me was attractive and it was cool and I wanted it.
Yeah.
And so he would do all it because he'd always make, he'd be in a crowd, be like, da, 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 da. Hey, Billy, I got a car, come pick you up. Have a fun guy. And he'd leave. I'd be like, wow. So when someone leaves, you're like, where are they going? They're going somewhere better.
Yeah.
You know, you have this idea that they're going somewhere better. They're off on a mystery fucking vacation or whatever it is. And then I found out later that he told someone, which is really weird and it's a shame, but he told someone that, I had to stop hanging out with Bill because I had a feeling he was falling in love with me.
What?
Yeah. He told a casting director that. Which is... And then casting directors thought that we had been dating because I'd hung out with him. And by the way, I didn't hang out with him for like years. I hung out with him like a month or two. You know
what
I mean?
How quick the doll of Steve comes to the hook.
So, but I remember thinking at the time like, wow, he's playing the game. You know what I mean? I guess he's thinking eventually... I don't know... I don't really know. As a theater actor in New York, there are a lot of
who rollerblades,
but there are a lot of gay men who their Everest is turning a straight guy, right?
Sure.
Which I get. I get that. If you're a gay dude and you have such good game that you'll take a straight guy and make him go, oh, suck a dick.
I mean, yeah, that's
the ultimate game.
I get it.
So if you're into the game and you can turn a straight guy, so I had a lot of gay men in my life try to turn me, and that's just, you know, that's just one of those humps, no pun intended. You just aren't, if you don't have the proclivity to it, you're not going to do it. It's just one of those things,
right.
You know. No matter how charming someone is, how funny or how much access they have, I mean, I miss having the access. So
yeah.
So that's so
all you
got to
do is give them a little access.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine?
Let's move on.
I thought about that. I was like, what if I... Because there's... And also... Okay, let's talk about the gay thing. Because let me tell you something.
Okay.
Sometimes I go, am I just a nerd that I can't be bi?
Hmm.
Is it just because I'm a nerd and because of old systemic indoctrination from childhood,
I wonder about
by
that.
My born again Christian dad, that makes me still think in the back of my cerebellum, like I'm going to go to hell if I do anything gay. Because the truth is, like, it's probably a good time.
It is. Well,
you know,
here's what I come across: it's like I'm not interested in it, but I think it goes a little deeper than that. It is on a deeper level, some type of homophobia for myself.
For sure.
Not for anyone else. I support anyone doing whatever, but there is like a knee-jerk kind of baked-in childhood thing where I'm, I don't want it for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't, and I just, it's like a wall that I've built up that sometimes I'm wondering, let's say I consciously cross that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would discover that, oh, maybe everyone has the potential to do something like this, but I have no desire to do that.
Yeah.
And in my current resting passive state, I have no interest in it.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm happy with that. And I don't think that anyone should be compelled to
yes.
explore something they're not necessarily comfortable with, as long as they're not.
But here's where it gets tricky, right?
Mm.
Butt play, right? I used to be really against butt play.
Yeah.
In terms of, for me, I don't know. Maybe you get older, your prostate gets bigger.
Prostate gets bigger? Is that true?
Yeah. Your prostate gets bigger until you die, basically. If other things don't kill you in life, this is a true story. If other things don't kill you in life, you will die of prostate cancer.
My dad had prostate cancer.
If you don't die of heart attack or some other cancer, whatever it is, you will die of prostate cancer. That's just the truth. Because your prostate will eventually grow, will metastasize until you die.
Wow.
So, and I used to be very much against it. And then, like, the first time, I don't know, like, maybe there's a finger. I was like, a finger? Finger. And then you're kind of like, and you're like, no, finger. And then there's a tongue. And you're like, okay, tongue's not so bad. And then someone knows what they're doing. And then you're kind of like, you know, there's that weird thought of like, that don't make me gay, do it. I take a finger in my butt.
Yeah.
You get to the point where now this pegging thing that's swiffering the nation.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with
not
that.
Not for me.
Not for me, but also why? If it's a woman that you're attracted to and you're doing everything else, she goes, look, it would really turn me on. Because women can come from pegging a guy. Because the way it rubs their clit, right? So if a woman wanted to peg you,
mm-hmm.
and you loved her, and she let you put it in her butt, and she's like, I just want to try it one time. Just put on the strap on.
Mm, nope.
Why not, Tommy? I mean, I feel the same way.
Now,
I feel like maybe I'm being a little close-minded.
Isn't this crazy how far we've come?
Yeah.
Am I a bigot for not wanting something rammed up my ass?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's this idea that you're a bigot if you're not attracted to trans women, too.
Right.
You're transphobic if you're not attracted. And maybe that's true. But I don't want to admit I'm transphobic.
I mean,
but I wouldn't want to be with a trans woman.
I think there's some level of, like, perhaps the next generations will be more evolved than I am. But I'm content with being evolved enough to let people live their own lives and I'm going to just live my own based on, you know what I mean? Some of my values are set. Some of my shit is just...
You're too young, Tommy.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do that or anything. I'm just like, in terms of having something put up my butt, I'm a long way away from the pegging conversation.
I've heard that Ryan Seacrest has a closet full of butt plugs. Like he's a butt plug aficionado, apparently.
Well, and
you're like, oh, but like, he likes the girls. He likes stuff up his butt.
Yeah.
First I was like, oh, really, Ryan? And I'm like, okay. That's his thing. He's embraced it. And he's fine with it.
Good for him.
And I don't know if that's like a new thing that now that everything is more fluid, that men are embracing their inner
I'm happy for
butt
men.
Play.
I think men should.
But it was also weird.
But not me right now.
I also talked about like when you're first like thinking about blowjobs, right? You want a girl to like just put her mouth on your penis. Like, even a mouth on your penis at all is like, oh, they're
an
on their head.
Eyeball on your penis.
And then, like, oh, they lick the shaft. And, oh, that's great. And then maybe they can deep throat. And like, and then it's like, oh, then became like a girl has to deal with the balls.
Right.
Then it was like, lick the handle of the balls, the hand. And then, like, they got to go down, they got to lick the balls. And then girls, like, they lick the taint. And then they lick the butthole. And then it's going to be pretty much they're licking your lower back.
Right.
And, like, they just do around the world.
Sure.
But, like, the idea of a girl licking my butthole was never in my mind in my 20s.
But that's where I am, right?
Yeah.
I need to have a lot more sex. There's a lot I got to do before I get to pegging.
So, well, first of all, if a girl was like...
I'm a prude, ultimately.
So if you're with a girl and she just started going down there for the A.
To lick my butt?
Yeah. First of all, I'd want to be like, let me shower first.
For
but
sure.
If you showered.
For sure.
And you scrub-a-dubbed.
I think it's a conversation you got to have.
You can't just go for it. But if a woman goes for it, you're not going to
Here's when it comes to the pegging, and maybe this is why I have a little bit of an issue with it. And this is, there's something about some ladies' desire to peg that is not rooted in pleasure for you, but it's rooted in this power fantasy.
Of course it is.
And I don't really, I'm not interested in that.
But why not? If that's their little thing.
I don't really want to, no, because it's, and in my mind, I cannot separate it from like, I don't want to release control of that level. You know what I mean? Maybe that's like a hang up I have, but it feels like I'm being degraded. If I'm, you know what I mean?
So you're gonna degrade have this weird, me. Degrade me. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And maybe that's why I'll never triple cum or whatever the fuck kids are doing these days. Like,
what do you mean triple cum?
I don't know. You know, I'm just regular cumming and everyone else is super cumming.
Oh, well, you'll never know what it feels like to quadruple orgasm. Well, I will say this.
I don't give a shit.
There are men who can have an orgasm from a prostate massage. Just straight up fingers, prostate massage. Like,
well,
an orgasm.
That's what they say, is it's the most powerful male
and
orgasm.
I've had women who say, let me try it on you. And I go, okay, deep breaths. Let me try. We'll get the coconut oil.
You did it.
And it just did. It was always like too uncomfortable for me. You know, it never really felt right.
You did it. You didn't even like it.
I didn't really like it. So now
that
like,
would be a huge disappointment to me.
Now I'm degraded and I didn't get pleasure.
I'd be mad as hell if it wasn't really that good. If you pegged me and I didn't like it, now I'm mad. Now I'm pissed.
But what if the love of your life liked it? Which is like, thank you so much for letting me peg you, you little bitch.
Oh my God. The love of my life would not talk to me like that.
It might be there. Everyone has their thing, as Luke Sake says.
And one of
everyone
my
has their thing.
Is,
you might. I would just say this. Be open to possibility in your life, Tommy.
I am open to possibility. All I'm saying is I like to take things one step at a time. Yeah. I like to drop in on the 3-foot ramp before I drop in on the 4-foot ramp before I drop in on the 5-foot ramp. I like to ollie before I kickflip. And sometimes, like when I snowboarded for the first time with my friends, I tried to keep up with them. Because they were a lot more experienced than I was.
Yeah.
So I hopped on the ski lift with them
because
I wanted to hang out with my buddies.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm the first time I've ever snowboarded at the top of a black diamond.
Holy shit.
And sometimes you learn from those experiences. Mm-hmm. And maybe let's do some other stuff.
Okay.
Before we go straight to pegging.
So, but this is where I'm at it. If I was with someone who wanted to peg me and I liked them and I trusted them, and it was just a thing that they'd been thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it, and I didn't enjoy it. Maybe it was a little painful. I wouldn't, like, walk around ashamed.
No.
I wouldn't walk around like, I've been pegged. Like a scarlet letter. Like,
right.
Oh, no, everyone's going to know
that
my butthole is slightly bigger now.
If I was excited and interested in it, then I wouldn't either. But if it was something that I really didn't want to do, and we did it anyway, then I would a little bit feel taken advantage of.
The bottom line is orgasms are more intense when there's a little bit of ass play involved. It's just true. It just is. Whether it's a tongue or a finger, there's something happening there. It's just bigger. It's a bigger release. It's just factually a bigger release. So, you know, doesn't mean you have to do it in any relationship, but I just think
meth is a bigger release than marijuana.
I love meth. Anyway,
I'm sure you would.
So Tommy, you've been working on the be excellent and leave game a little bit, huh?
Yeah, we're back here. Yes.
Let's get you. Is there a person in mind right now?
Sure. We can,
there's a bunch of people. Let's coordinate.
Well,
a be without desire, be excellent and leave situation for you. Obviously, as a comic, our be excellent is bring them to a comedy show.
Well, just as an example, Tuesday. No. Thursday. I had a comedy show.
At the Improv, right?
At the Improv. Packed it out. One of the best shows we've done. I was not only performing, had a great set.
How many people are backed out of the lab?
It was probably 50.
50, okay.
But all the main room seats were filled.
Yeah.
We had a couple people in the booths. It wasn't like sold out,
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely full.
It was good, yeah.
It was, and the energy was great.
Great.
Which is not always great.
No.
In the lab, but it was for our show.
Yeah, the second rooms of our, at the Comedy Store, the second room is tough. Second room improv is tough. The stand in New York, second room is tough. Yeah.
This is my domain.
Yeah.
I'm a second room comic.
My life in the B room.
My life in the B room. Hey, I'm tearing it up in the B room with my little 7 minutes.
Kill in the B room. B rooms are hard. If you're killing the B room, you'll kill the A room, by the way.
I know I will. A room's easy.
Yeah, A room's easy.
A room's easy.
Get into the A room.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's so true. A room's easy. Getting there is hard.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's like Ivy League schools. Getting in are hard. Once you're in there, it's fucking simple.
You know what else is like that?
What?
Pegging. Call back. All right. Anyways, so it was a great show. I was doing my little piano interludes. That's part of our show, is that like I play people on and off with my little piano.
That's a real talent.
It's fun. I'm not even that good, but I'm good enough to be like,
yeah. Beep, beep, you got long fingers, yeah.
But I already got carpal tunnel at the young age, so.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it while I can.
You know Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm familiar with him.
Yes. I mean, you're no Bo Burnham.
I am true.
Yes.
Yes. I am not Bo Burnham yet.
Okay. So it's going well, and there's some ladies out there that you know, or that...
Well, this one girl came, and she not only arrived, but brought 8 of her hot female friends. And she was kind of like really excited about the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Is she someone who goes to comedy shows a lot?
No. Yeah. Well, sometimes. I got her tickets to a Laugh Factory show one time. And I was like, I'll get you tickets for this, but you got to come through to my show at the Improv because I'm trying to pack it out. And so she brought a bunch of people. They were all attractive women. And they all seemed like they had a really good time. And they were all kind of flirting with me after the show.
All of them.
All of them. Some more than others. Some were just quiet.
And now that's a tricky spot, too, because now you're like, there are all these beautiful women. I have to focus at some point if you want to, like, get a date.
Right.
Or whatever.
So, you know, I focus on the main one because she brought the people. I know her.
And you feel like that's, otherwise it would be rude.
I said a couple things. I got a few laughs. And then I left.
And you just left. How'd you leave? You did an Irish goodbye. You were like...
No, I was like, ladies, I gotta go. And they were like, bye!
And you walk, and they, you know, they were talking about you.
He's and cute. Then, he's cute.
The other time I was at this party, and this girl... Because my friend makes jokes about this, because I'm always doing it in front of him. Well, I'll have, like, a hot girl talking to me, and then I'll just be like, all right, I gotta go. But it's never calculated. It's usually like, I just want to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm in some mood or something. And he's like, damn, that's leaving? Well, there's one example. I was at this party, and everyone was talking about some dance move. And I did this dance move, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I was like, all right, I got to go.
Oh, do a dance move, leave. There you go.
He made fun of me. He was like, you just hit the Charleston and left. I was like, oh yeah. But then it reminded me of the Tao of Steve, because you had mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the hottest thing you can do is leave.
Now, obviously, because I think, and where we're at right now as a society too, you know, women have more agency. As much as women have more agency,
they don't use it though.
I still feel like men, there is still the point where the man has to be a little bit archaic.
Oh, yeah.
And the man still has to kind of be a little, get a hair aggressive. Not aggressive, but just a hair like.
You got
to
cross that bridge.
So then you got to figure out when to do that. I would say the 1, 2, 3 repeat of Tao of Steve, you can do that like 3 times.
But right? At a certain point.
And the fourth time, you got to be like,
enough.
you got to do that. Now, how do you make that transition? Because you've established that you can hang out with them without desire.
That's where I struggle.
Right.
I have women who desire me.
What
do I do?
The most pimp move you can do is when you go back to a woman's place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time, make them laugh, da da da. You know, you want to get the kiss, and if you sense that they're uncomfortable, all like, you know, I don't know, it's weird right now. It's like, I totally get it.
Get the kiss.
Yeah.
What do you mean, just get the kiss, right? There's a whole, that's the transition.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Well, when
kissing to sex is easier than talking to kissing, to me.
Really?
Am I wrong?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. Talking to kissing versus kissing to sex.
To me,
I feel like
crossing the threshold of we are platonic to this is sexual
one.
In some
here's
way.
One. Here's what you do. You're at their place. You're at the, you know, like, I had such a great time with you. I would love a good night kiss. Can I have a good night kiss?
A good night kiss?
Which
that
is saying.
So corny.
Hey, but a it's saying. It's saying it's a kiss
what
without expectations.
Without expectations.
It's
oh,
saying
like
that
leaving.
You're. Yeah, like.
Okay.
I'm a go, but can I have a good night kiss? Right?
Oh, well, I kind of. That you're
kinda
combining
cute.
The leaving.
Yes.
And if they're into it, then they'll be like, pull you in.
But even. If unless they're really pulling you in, even if they're like, even if you kiss them and they do that thing when they lean forward, their lips are open. You go, okay,
you
I gotta go. You
ooh,
leave.
Ooh, ice cold.
Hip.
I love that.
But it's not a rejection.
Ooh, that's hot.
Now if you're
damn.
Leaving and they go, wait, you used to stay.
And then you're like,
then,
you just
are
flip
you
your
sure?
coat like fucking Batman.
You have to completely reinforce their agency all the time.
Right. Agreed.
But that's the easy way if you're hanging out. Like, I had a great time with you. I love hanging out with you. Do it after maybe the third time. Be like, I'm going to go. I was like, can I get a good night kiss for you? And it is corny, but corny's cute.
Yeah.
First kisses are always a little corny.
I got it. It is the corniest of kisses.
And they're never like it's never like 50 Shades of Grey where you push a girl against an elevator. And
no.
I've tried that.
One
it
time.
Works.
One time it was like that. But it's got a... It's a specific girl in a specific situation, and sometimes that... You wait for that moment, and then the night's over.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to be like...
I would love a good night kiss. And give me a... And there are definitely women, and this is true.
Hey.
This is true. Don't get me canceled. There are women who... Some women who want a little bit of a... Who want a little bit of... You to push past their resistance.
Yes.
You know, because they don't want to feel easy. They
but
don't
the
want to feel slutty.
The worst about that shit is sometimes there's so much ambiguity. Some girls they make it so ambiguous.
Yes.
And you push past because that is what the signals are saying. And then nothing really happens. And you're like, okay, now it's awkward.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I violated you a little bit. Not in a big way, but just enough to where it's awkward. And you're like, ugh, fuck.
Now, here's another way. Here's another good tell. You go, okay, I got to go. All right. And you put the arms out for the hug, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go in for the hug. Don't make it an uncomfortable, like too long hug. But just give a hug and just slowly come back from the hug.
Uh-huh.
If they also slowly come back from the hug, like where they can meet your eyes, that's a signal, right? Because a lot of times you go for the hug. I've always felt this way. If you
uh-huh.
go for a hug, I'll go, hey, girl, I'm really attracted to you. I'll go for the hug, and they pull back, like their like chins to their chest. I'm like, that's the cue.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a hug. This is just a friendly hug.
There's certain, like, that method probably wouldn't work for me.
Really?
There's too much of a split-second decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have that killer instinct because
yeah.
I'm always on defense.
Yeah.
In my brain, when I'm making the first move on a girl, I'm on defense. And that's not where you got to be. But sometimes I've been like, I got to go offense tonight. And then I'm like, fuck, that was weird. That was awkward. So now I'm on defense. And that's why I love the leave method. I love leaving. I love, like, because I'll be killing in the room.
Yeah.
But now, to leave feels so good because now I don't have to do my least favorite part.
Yes.
Which is, like...
The clothes.
I am a sexual midfielder. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a striker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a box-to-box midfielder. You know
what
I'm saying?
You're at number 10 on the soccer team.
I can make plays.
But you're not number 10.
But I'm not scoring.
Yeah.
That's number 9, isn't it?
Well, striker? Number 10 is always like
Messi,
Maradona,
right.
You know.
No. I'm like Patrick Vieira. I'm like Cesc Fabregas. I collect the ball from the defender. I beat a couple players. I get into an attacking area, and then I pass.
And you pass. Yeah.
And I pass. But I'm good.
You're good at that.
I'm smooth at it.
Smooth at it.
But, ooh, I just, you know.
You don't take that shot from outside the 18.
I don't take that shot from outside the 18 unless it's on my strong foot. I got a clear vision
of the goal. It's right there. You have no one to pass to.
It's
You're not offsides.
It's propped up on the grass. You know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even less than that, I'm like a free kick taker.
Okay.
I'll take
a free kick.
I'll take a free kick.
Yeah.
I have a shot.
I'll bend it.
And you know what? When I decide to shoot, it's not a bad shot.
Not a bad shot, yeah.
But I don't know if the crowd wants me to shoot sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got the
it's your penalty, but you give the ball to someone else to take the shot.
Yeah. It's like Mesut Ozil was notorious for overpassing. Because he was so good at passing.
Yeah.
But sometimes he'd be right in front of the goal, but he'd just be like, pass it to somebody else because he wanted to get his assists up. He didn't really care. So that's something I got to work.
So the next thing is the ABC, the closing. Here's what I think. There's a certain point where it is where you got to force the hand in terms of knowing where you stand.
Yeah. True.
Right. And if you've hung out with someone a few times, this is why people say like, oh, the third date. If it's the third date, like if I'm at a comedy show and I'm like, what day is it? Number three. I'm like, so you're going to fuck, right? Because the third date's usually the night.
True.
Where you fuck.
You better be at least asking the question.
And at the very least, you better make out on the third date.
Yeah.
Right? So even if this isn't a date, it's a hang or whatever it is, there are people. The third time you're with this person, now you want to close, right?
Yeah.
So the best thing is obviously you have to change locations, right?
Ooh.
From wherever it is. Hey, you want to go somewhere? You want to go to a thing? You know, I don't know. Like people like to go to diners. That's kind of like,
You know what was funny last night?
What?
I went up to the hot girl and I was like, what are y'all doing after this? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know. Do you have somewhere to go? And I didn't have anywhere to go. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, man, I got to go. But you guys should have fun.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, it was like she gave me the signal of like, we'd be down. Do you have a plan? And I was like, oh, I should have planned this out better. I am in over my head. I was like, ha-ha, I got to go take some care of some over here. I got to go sign some checks. Oh, and I did not have anywhere to go. Because the post-pandemic, I'm like, what the fuck do people even do? I have no game. I have no locations.
Yeah, I used to have access. We have access to places. Or you can skip a line.
Oh, that's gangster.
That's pretty gangster. I've been in that situation before. We're like, well, there's this club. It's so hard to get into. I'm like, I got this. I go, hey, what's up, man? And we get in. Like,
that's me with comedy
clubs.
Show
your value.
Except
right?
Comedy clubs aren't sexy.
they can be. Walking women into a comedy club so they don't have to pay. Walking to the front of the line. That shows your value.
Walking to the front of the line is the most gangster shit you can
that's
do.
That's pretty gangster.
That's right? On some Goodfellas. You know what I mean? That is a Goodfellas level flex.
But if you don't have the walk front line access, then you just got to change location.
Like,
and the way
you
change location is you got to change location not to like Swingers Diner where you eat like hash browns and fat gas.
That's what I do.
You got to go
hey,
to like some cool like little lounge, some cool little, for a drink. I just have you want to have a nightcap. That's so 70s. Let's have a nightcap. And you go. Oh, that's God. Code. That was code in the 70s. Like we're gonna fuck. So let's have a nightcap first. But. So I think you got
to come up for coffee. That's Seinfeld code.
I think weed is a good one.
Marijuana.
You want to smoke some weed?
Yeah.
You know, come back to my place, smoke some weed. And the great
true.
Thing here's
that was my college move.
The great thing about weed too.
Except then I would get too high and sit on the porch and like have a minor panic attack and be like, "Have a good night."
The great thing about weed. This is why weed is so much better than alcohol in terms of like. Being in that space because when you go back to a woman's place and you're smoking weed and you're a little stoned
mm-hmm.
and you're comics, so comic minds, we just find shit funny
yes.
and we just make fun of shit and we just have a good time. We laugh and you're not really, it kind of quells that weird animal
horniness.
Instinct horniness yes. that you have as a man.
Girls are like, what are you laughing at? I'm like,
yeah. So you just have fun and then you don't try to, but you can kind of like, then you can kind of just be like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Just go like,
yeah, but
I mean, like, my move was always like, hey, what's up?
You sometimes if I get too high, I'll just like start slowly scooting towards them, but like in a way that's not sexy and very, I'm like, And then I look up and I'm like, oh man, I'm being weird. And then I retreat all the way back to where I was. I'm like,
I think maybe you should embrace. I always thought that it was really dumb.
Yeah.
To ask for a kiss.
Yes. I got to embrace it. That's me.
But I feel like particularly now in today's climate, I think that's kind of where we're at. And I think that it doesn't come off quite. Back in the day, if I'd ask a girl for a kiss, she's like, ugh, just kiss me. You ruin the moment now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's the case. I remember that, what was it, Annie Hall? Woody Allen.
Yes.
We're about to have dinner, but can we have the first
scene.
Kiss before dinner because then so I can
scene.
Digest my food better?
I was obsessed with that as a kid. I was like, what a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
But I think
that's a great,
don't do it that nerdily, but like just say before dinner, like, hey, before we go to dinner, can I have a kiss? Just one, just like
a
quick.
I might have a moderately, and I do mean incredibly moderately, cooler exterior than Woody Allen, but I do think at times I am at that level of nerdiness and lack of game. But he had game in a strange way.
He clearly had game. Look at the women that he dated and married in his
True.
Lifetime. It's crazy. So then the question is, because, you know, then I was told by Rob Lowe, and this is in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I had a dinner. Rob Lowe was like, because it was girls. I like the girl. He's like, just maul her.
Maul her?
Maul. M-A-U-L. Just
like
maul
a bear?
Her. Yeah, just maul her. I go, what do you mean? He goes, just like wait till she comes out of the bathroom, because she went to the bathroom.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Patter her nose. And just when we see, you know, Kim, like, walk, like you'll
out
be over
the
there.
Bathroom?
Wherever, Tommy.
Why the bathroom?
Where she? That's where she left to.
Right.
She's
okay,
alone.
So
she's coming out alone. Mm. Not like open the door, like
just jump her in an alleyway.
But just like maul her. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, just like grab her, push her against the wall, and kiss her really gently for a short time.
Gently.
Yeah, don't like blah blah blah.
Right.
But just show some physical, you know, power, but be very gentle and then let it go. I just wanted to do that. Because you let your, because here's the thing. This is what he told me. He goes, what if I get slapped in the face? And by the way, I know this is very name dropping. I was doing play with his brother Chad Lowe when we were at dinner. So I go, what if I get slapped in the face? And he goes, you might get slapped in the face. He goes, there's a chance you'll get slapped in the face, but the chance of getting slapped maybe like 30%.
That's so high.
He goes, but you'd play those odds in Vegas, right? 70% chance that you won't get slapped in the face. If you had a 7% chance that you can gamble and win, you're going to take because and this is what he said. He goes, a slight chance of slap. If they slap you in the face, that means they were offended that you even thought that you could kiss them, which means you never had a chance, right? You never had a chance. The girl who's going to like slap you in the face is going to be, or push you, or like, what the fuck are you doing? Is someone who clearly had never any inclination to hook up with you. But that's rarely the case.
That is an interesting point, because my initial thought about the 30% is like...
Not even 30%.
Maybe I would take those odds in Vegas, but if there's better odds right next to it, like a different technique, then why wouldn't I take
that?
But
the odds are 70% there. Not
30%. But the point about, well, that person never really
and then
was going to give you
the
chance
two other that. Options are you go for the kiss, and they kind of just like, no, you know, and they just kind of... Yeah. And they go, now that's great, because now they know your intentions. They know that you like them that way.
And they're like, I just took a
and
huge
shit. You're attracted to them that way.
Yeah.
And then that will percolate in their head.
Wow.
So then...
You got to plant the seed.
You've planted the seed, right?
Ooh.
And then later on, and don't do it at the end of the night, you know, try to do it before the dinner or in the middle of the thing.
I love planting the
and
seed.
And then the third thing is that she'll kiss you back. Right.
Ooh.
So those are pretty good. So like two out of three of those options are going to be pretty good. And the intentions are going to be clear, you know.
Right.
So I think that, I mean, it's a trickier thing now with doing the maul technique because I think that.
Things have changed.
Things have changed a little bit. But I still think.
Calling it
the
maul technique isn't even great.
Yeah. But I still think that a lot of women
to call it the
would
ambush.
Prefer to be.
The gotcha!
Ambushed.
Yeah.
They would prefer to have like someone that they might be interested kiss them.
Right.
Now, of course, you got to be a good kisser. And, of course, the trick to being a good kisser when you first start kissing, and the same thing with having sex.
It's to go all tongue, deep tongue immediately.
All tongue and then bite their lip until it bleeds just a little bit.
Maybe lick them in the nose.
Lick their nostrils, Just fucking lick the side of their face. No, the trick is always just to kiss as soft as you possibly can kiss someone. Just like really, really slow. And then just like boom, pull. And then
develop a rhythm.
Yeah. And then, and same thing with sex. Like, always, like some women might want to be pounded, but the first thing you got to do is you got to try, you go with the softest approach possible.
Slap the thigh with the
dick. Going down on a woman, go as soft as possible with your tongue. Don't be a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Just like a little kitten, a little thirsty kitten.
Come a little fucking, a raspberry on the stomach.
Yeah,
break
maybe
the tension.
Yeah, maybe just, you know, punch them in the gut a little bit.
Yeah.
So
tickle their feet, get kicked in the face.
So if you do everything, even if you're there's something aggressive about how you kiss them, the approach of it, but the kiss is incredibly gentle. That cognitive dissonance will make them go, oh, okay.
I kind of like that part. That was my favorite part of it, was like demonstrating physical strength, but also incredible restraint.
Yeah, and also showing your desire. Now, again,
women love the restraint.
They love the restraint.
Oh, he's so strong.
Because you're not thirsty.
Not with me.
But you have desire.
He's strong with other men, but not with me. He's changed his wild ways for me.
Now, you could also just do the thing of just repeating the Dow Steve over and over again until the woman's like, are we going to fuck or not?
I've done that. That's me. That's my method. I'm like, oh my God, I thought you'd never ask.
You can do silly things. I've even done this before. Like, say next to a girl on the couch who is a little bit trepidant and just being like, oh, yeah, we want to play a game. Now, it's already...
Like Jigsaw?
Well, no, it's already awkward, right?
Yeah.
It's already corny. Let's play...
Kiss me and then have sex with me.
No.
The game. The board game. You pull out a box
say,
and
like,
says
you know,
that.
I can't kiss you. Can we play a game? Let's see if we can do like I know it's awkward, right? Let's just have a really awkward... Let's make the most awkward kiss imaginable. Let's make a really awkward... Can we just have a fun, awkward... Uh-huh. And so, okay, what would that be? Like, okay, so whatever. You like,
it's very cute.
You tuck your lips in, or you go, and you just kind of like...
Yeah.
Have a fake, awkward kiss.
Let's eat ass in the most awkward way imaginable.
You have a fake, awkward kiss.
Okay.
But then once you've done that, there's been some barrier crossed.
Sure.
Some physical barrier crossed.
Ooh.
Even though it was fake, it was almost like you're play acting.
True.
Now, when you want the real kiss, it's way more available.
True.
It's like, I understand you, but like maybe we just have like, I know first kiss, can we just have a really, let's make the most awkward one possible. Right? And just see,
here's
my
thought.
It's funny, it's still part of the haha.
I'm going to go home now and get a custom board game cover that says, let's make out. And we're like, hey, do you want to play a game? And I take out a board game that says, let's make out. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is called having game.
That would be a great game. And then you open up, the card's just like, every card just says, make out with the person across from you.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like,
what card did you get?
I designed an entire game. I was going to just make a cover for Monopoly, but I prefer that it's an entire board game. Designed exclusively for two people who are too awkward.
Even better. It's a game. I don't know what the rules of the game are. You have to go back and forth with different cards, like whatever it is. But one card in the stack says, let's make out. You don't know where it is.
Wow.
Might come up any time.
I kind of like that.
So the tension, you get the tension building.
And the rule book, instead of a rule book, it's just the game.
Yeah.
The book.
The game, the book. Because really what it boils down to is you're in a situation where there's someone that in the delusional male brain, you think you have a shot.
The delusional male brain. So true.
I mean, look, I feel like I've always had okay game. I've never been like that guy who is like, dude, you're magic. It's like Fahim Anwar bit, you know?
Right.
The guy who gets a 10. He goes, he's not just going to use those skills on you.
Yeah.
It's like a guy going through a laser field. So I've never been that guy.
Me neither.
But I've been adjacent. I've been close to that. And I feel like a lot of it has to do with, you know, obviously the more sexually secure you are, the more that you know that you're like, you know, like you're like, they're not always the prize. Like, you're the prize. Wow. As a man, you can be the prize.
That's beautiful.
You know, you can be the person, like, not like you're lucky to go home with me, but like, I got a lot
you
to offer.
You should have confidence like that.
You should
that.
Have confidence. So that's easy, because then if that's how you feel, that you are also a prize, then you're not like desperate trying to like get down their pants and feel them up or any of that shit, you know? I always feel the best thing is just to sit next to somebody and just look at them and go, what's up? And just kind of smile. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like to sit down next to a girl and lean very, very close to their ear and softly, gently whisper, I'm the prize.
I'm the prize.
I'm the fucking prize. Don't you forget it.
You're not a prize. You're a cunt.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The neg.
Put that on my dating profile.
I had a pretty good Twitter reply to Ginny Hogan. I think she writes great tweets.
She's funny.
Very funny. She wrote too. Goes like, why? Like, it was a simple tweet. Like, why do guys have problems finding the clit? It's like right there. And I wrote back, I think guys can find the clit, but they just want to neg it.
Mm.
That's a pretty funny joke.
Yeah.
They just want to neg it.
It's pretty good.
I think that the days of negging are kind of done. Maybe.
Well,
I don't really buy the negging shit.
You don't neg like you used to. You gotta, like, we've evolved. You can't be like, you're an ugly, blah, blah, blah.
So
blah.
People don't know the neg is.
You gotta, but you can make fun of in a cool way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could say something really dumb. You can be like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Give them the eyebrows. We've evolved past saying mean things, and now you just got to give them a look.
Here's
neg with the
here's
eyebrows.
Here's another. Because really what we're talking about, the barriers of physical intimacy between two people, right?
Yes.
And how do you cross those barriers in a way that aren't aggressive and aren't uncomfortable, but that show some degree of intention?
Yes.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
Palm reading.
Ah.
Palm reading is very easy. There are just a few things, like a lifeline, the love line, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
You're just touching their hand.
You're just touching their hand. But it's very intimate. And you trace inside the palm, like, this is your love line. And then you make up, you just do a cursory amount of research on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
you make up a fun story,
and you make up, this is okay at this age, this happened, and you make, and you have, you just kind of improv on their hand.
Says that some guy you know and been talking to has a huge dong. Whoa.
Some guy
who's touching your hand right now has a huge thing,
but he has a premature ejaculation problem. But don't worry, the second time it's pretty good. First time goes a little too fast. He's working on it.
Wow. I mean, that would be so funny to say. Like, I think that would almost be so funny that it would work. Because
I'm telling you, the palm, I haven't done that much, but the few times, it's always for sure. Now, you have to be in the place, you're in a couch, wherever, even a bar.
Well, first you look at them and you're like, do you believe in magic? Do you believe in fortune and fate?
Give me your palm.
Give me your palm.
Most women are going to be in. If you know, and like, just get a book, just shows the lines, and they have different things, how many kids you're going to have, where your love life and your lifeline intersect.
That's not a bad move.
If
I'm ever panicking, I might use the palm reading technique.
Yeah. And they will intimate everything from how they give you their palm.
Mm.
If they're like armful, like, here's my palm. What are you gonna fucking do with it, asshole? And then you get both palms. Oh, we gotta read both palms because they say different things, you know.
And then you
make a funny story about their palms,
right?
And the story ends up like, how many kids? Oh, you have one kid. He's gonna be a drug addict, unfortunately, but he'll be okay eventually. You
That's
know,
what I like about it is that it's. As much as it is a move, it's an improv game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like it. Because that's where I thrive.
Game. Yeah, an improv game that sillily breaks down the physical barriers. I love playing into the awkwardness of the physical barrier. Like, it's awkward. We know it's awkward. It's cool to be like even sit next to a girl and just sitting like kind of like straight up and like okay,
yeah,
you know, I'm pretending I'm awkward, like okay, I should go and like give him your hand, like I'm gonna go shake the hand, and if you give a girl a hand, like you're gonna say goodbye, like you're gonna shake their hand, they're like just give me a hug, and you go for the hug and you do the slow pull back and see where their head is.
Yeah,
you go
I gotta shoot, what was I gonna say? I like the hand thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the improv game. I am at a point where fuck, what was I gonna say? I totally blanked. It's the dang weed. But I've been in a lot of situations where I do get to that point and there's just no way to cross that.
There's an invisible barrier because
there's an invisible barrier.
The intimacy threshold has not been crossed.
No. And I, as a younger man, would just at a certain point be like, I'm going to leave it uncrossed.
Yeah.
But now I'm like getting better at least asking. Like if it seems like, oh, there's so much happening here that it seems like I should cross the barrier.
Yeah.
I'm getting all the signals right, even in my own kind of like aspy way of being like, oh, I can't. I know that I can't for sure know. I'll never know 100%. But it seems like from a mathematical standpoint, enough things have happened that indicate interest that I'm clear for an attempt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll be like, so, you know, obviously. Oh, like one time I had this girl. And we went to a concert, and then she was like, let's go back to her place, and then we smoked a little weed back at my place,
so
and then it was
good.
Just the two of
good.
Us, and she was like, do you want to like try and make some music? So I was like, okay. And then I brought up this whole Ableton project, and I was playing the bass, and I made a little beat, and we were kind of like vibing out, and then she said something about her ex and how he was a dick, and I freestyled a diss track about her ex, and it was
pretty badass.
She liked it. She was like laughing, and she was sitting on my bed, and I was like, oh my god, I was like, I don't really know what to do. I feel a little awkward.
Yeah, because the music doesn't do the physical intimacy barrier.
It doesn't. I was, you know, doing the rest of it, and then I went to sat on the bed, but I was not next to her on the bed, and it was like tension. But then also she was talking a lot about relationships and how she wanted like a long-term relationship in life, and I was, that kind of put me off. I was like, maybe I don't want to kiss this person. Then I was like, now I'm doubting myself, like maybe I shouldn't kiss this person because now it seems like maybe we're on different wavelengths, but it's also like we're already here, and it's just like 1 a.m.
But she's gonna say that, you
right
know what I mean?
And then at a certain point I let the moment pass, and then I was like, I'll just set you up on the couch. Because she needed a place to stay. And that was the other thing that was awkward, because she was like... And then there was a point where it was so awkward and the moment had passed, but I was like, I have to say something because it's been too long. It was like, hey, just so you know, I think you're hot and we'll make out, but it's okay. The moment passed, so hey.
Wait, what'd you say?
I didn't even know. I mean, there's
you said something like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But just for the context.
Did you ever see her again?
She wanted to see me again, but I didn't. She lives too far away.
Okay.
She was like, didn't have a place to stay and was staying at my place. So it was like, there was like this expectation of she didn't really have anywhere to go. And I felt awkward about that. And also she had been kind of like emotional. And I was dealing with a lot of stuff in my brain. And I was also high.
Yeah.
So by the time that I decided to say something, it was kind of like, it was too late.
Yeah.
But I was happy that I said something at all.
Yeah.
Because that was, for me at the time, good.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? Something could maybe happen in the future.
It's also good, like, particularly when you're single, just to, like, have some, I don't know. It's nice to have people that you're having fun with and you're flirting with, you're not crossing boundaries with.
Yeah.
And if they do anything to indicate that they're not interested, just to be super fucking cool about it.
Yeah, always.
And you never know. Like, things always kind of backtrack, and if they're not, who cares? It's, they're not interested. True. Not a big deal.
I mean, I'm always cool about it. It's just, oh, but when I went home for Thanksgiving, there's this girl.
Oh, shit.
A new girl.
New girl?
New girl in town. This is one of these things where she's friends with my old hometown friends. You know how when you leave someplace, you, people replace you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you go back home to see your friends, but they also have new friends.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And sometimes you meet them and you're like, oh, that's a stand-up guy. So this is a lady. She's pretty cute, and everybody had been talking about her.
She's single.
She's single. And I went back. But here's the issue. My boy, one of my friends, kind of had a crush on her. But I went back, and I had no... And here's... Because I knew that one of my friends back home kind of liked her,
yeah,
I had no desire. I didn't even try to flirt with her in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if anything, holding her at arm's length,
mm-hmm.
but also like trying to be polite and nice and like, you know, doing my thing. And we hit it off.
Yes.
Almost like it was out of my control.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Things were just rolling down the path. And I was like, ah, what? Nope, not me. I'm not the one. So obviously she likes me because, and then one night we all decided to stay at her place, and it was me and her, and it was a party, but the only people that ended up staying there.
You and that other guy.
Me and that other guy. Sleeping on a bed together. But this is what was so terrible about it, is it was like the night was winding down.
Did he feel like you were cop-walking him by being there?
Well, I had to be there. That was always part of the plan.
Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't... I didn't feel that way. But if anything... Oh, it was fucked up because...
He didn't have to be there. So he was cock-blocking.
But also, it was fine that he was there. But it was just like, I couldn't do anything because I know that he felt some type of way about her. So the night is winding down. And he's like, starts washing the dishes and trying to be super helpful. Trying going out of his way to do stuff to impress her.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you don't got to do all that.
Yeah, it's not going to do it.
And she doesn't care.
That's, yeah.
And then meanwhile, she was like, I don't know. She was just kind of flirting with me. And then there was this moment where there was a couple other people in the house at this point before we went to bed. There was this moment where I was like, I could tell there was something that could have happened, but it couldn't happen. So I tried to get that across without letting everyone know. And maybe I did. So I kind of like... overtly flirted with her one time, been like, ah, I wish, but you know,
yeah,
and it, without explicitly stating, we all knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, maybe when I go back for Christmas, maybe something could happen.
Have you communicated with her since?
She followed me on Instagram.
You haven't DM'd. You haven't slid to the DMs.
I ain't done nothing because I think it'd be cooler to just do my
thing.
Is
this guy going to shoot his shot before then?
He already shot his shot and got shot down.
Before that night.
Yeah.
Then fuck him.
Right. But he still has hopes. But I can't make a move with him there.
But you got to talk to him, though. You got to be like, listen, man, I just want to say, like, you know, I kind of dig this girl. I think we have a little bit of a connection.
But what was funny is, like, I wasn't even thinking of doing that because I don't really care.
Yeah.
Most of the time I'm like, I don't give a shit. This is my homie. I'm not going to do anything. But it was like she was just flirting with me in that night.
Yeah, but guys got to fucking... I hate it when guys are like that. Guys are like, oh, man, I have a shot. I was like, no, dude, you're in the way now, bro. You got to go. You shot your shot. Move on.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He's a good dude, but he also gets laid and stuff. He just...
Yeah, he's let go.
Everybody's always getting hung up on some girl who didn't want him. I used to be
that guy. Of course. In conclusion,
it's so easy to just be a baller when... you're not allowed when you're not trying to.
Yes.
But it's... ugh,
but then there's the next step.
Yeah.
And we cannot leave it to the women to make the first move because they're not going to want to, even in 2021.
Nope.
Or 2022.
Don't matter how many piano songs you learn.
Yeah. So I would recommend either go for the mall, suck it up. Because the truth is, most women are going to be, they're going to be like, if you're not like awkwardly, stupidly aggressive about it.
I like the palm read.
Palm read's good.
The good night kiss.
Good night kiss.
That's a pretty good one. The mall, I feel, is ill-advised unless you really got a good vibe.
Yeah, you might not be the mall type of guy.
I kissed a girl on an elevator one time, but it was just clear. The vibes were so clear.
I've gone for the mall so many times and it hasn't worked, but it was never like, it didn't end the night.
Right.
It didn't end the friendship. It didn't end anything. It was just like, okay, what's the deal? It
seems like you were going for a reasonable mall.
I didn't go for a hardcore, like, oh, give me that mouth. It was just like a sweet little gentle, and they're like, okay, that's not what they're about right now. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. I don't care. Let's hang out. It doesn't matter. The palm read is good. Get a book of palm reading. I still think the, like, hey, let's play a game. Let's make, like, I know, like, I kind of want to kiss you, but, like, first kiss, can we just have a really, really, like, super awkward first kiss?
That one feels too dorky for me.
It's so dorky. I'm telling you, dude, it works.
I bet it does.
Like, listen, can we just kiss with our lips tucked in our entire mouth?
That's so cute.
It's so cute. And then you do it. Ha, 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 ha.
It's so cute. I can't
But
do
then
it.
The barrier's crossed. You're not behind the keyboard.
I'm already too cute, so I can't. You know what I mean? I got to, like, the night kiss. That's a cute one. But I'm like, I could get behind that. Yeah. Only because the leaving.
The leaving is implied.
So gangster.
So gangster. Look. I got to go. I got to fly off in a private jet right now. But can I have a good night kiss?
Yeah, exactly. And she's like,
I've got to go to a premiere party. Can I have a quick good night kiss?
You're going so soon?
You didn't even say, can I have a quick good night kiss? To let them know, like, hey, I don't even have time for a long one.
Can I have a lightning fast?
I only have a time for maybe a five. Not even, I don't even time for tongue.
I don't even have time for tongue.
I mean, you're cool, but I got places to be.
I don't have time for tongue.
Look, I got a show.
007, no time for tongue.
All right, Tommy. Well, will you get the palm reading book and just try the palm reading. We'll have a story to talk about.
All
just
right, I'll try the palm reading. I like that. That one seems fun.
It's fun.
It seems like I could get some laughs in the backstory.
And you have a physical, you've crossed a physical barrier. You're not behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
It'll work, man.
I like it.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace.
Bye-bye.